welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely wonderful day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing wonderful. It's about, oh gosh, it was 45 degrees here this morning, clear blue skies, light mountain breeze. I mean, it's high right now. It's like 62, 63. I mean, it's so stunningly beautiful here. I mean, I'm like in awe of the weather here, and I'm doing great. I mean, this is the day the Lord hath made. I shall be rejoicing and being glad in it all day. Had the opportunity to pray for all my listeners this morning, so it's been just absolutely a wonderful day. And what's interesting is, you know, months and months now we've been saying that, you know, they're trying to make Minority Report a real deal here in the United States. And here comes a story. Here we go. Republicans and Democrats want to make a Minority Report a reality in America. This is an article by Nino. It says, if gun owners think that a red flag confiscation order are scary, wait till they get a load of Threat Assessment Prevention and Safety Act of 2019, labeled S.265. David Leach of the Strident Conservative reports that the TAP Act, the TAPS Act, is a sort of like red flag law on steroid. TAPS has been introduced in the past with House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy drafting his own version. That was H.R. 5611 in 2016. The bill McCarthy introduced would allow the government to deny gun rights without charges being filed, a trial or conviction based merely on a predication that someday you'll be a terrorist. I'm going to repeat that. They'd disallow you to have a gun without any charges against you, without a trial, without a conviction, nothing. Just basically, they would have a prediction that someday you might be a terrorist. Red flag laws have become very popular across the nation since Donald Trump pushed them heavily, since the Parkland shooting, and now the federal government has entertained its own versions of the law. Senators Lindsey Graham, Gay Boy, and Mark Rubio, Gay Boy, have drafted their own. Yeah, I just said that, didn't I? I did just say that. I wasn't supposed to say that. I was supposed to say Lindsey Graham, who runs around with a purse, who's never been married, who doesn't want to talk about ever having children or being married, and Marco Rubio, who has photos of himself, you know, basically, you know, bubble shower, you know, with a bunch of gays at a gay bar, have drafted their own iterations of the red flag legislation. However, red flag bills are not enough for them. Gay Boy, Bubba Boy Rubio is now teaming up with Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema and Tom Tillis to co-sponsor the Senate version of S-265, according to Leach. Rubio's TAPS Act would encourage law enforcement to give everyone a personal threat assessment, adults and children, and single out those they deem as future threats. The information could then be used to stop dangerous individuals before they can commit any act of violence. I mean, this is so against our Constitution. It's not just the Senate that has a TAPS bill in the pipeline. Republican Representative Brian Bain and Democratic Representative Val Demings have joined forces to draft a House version of the TAPS Act that seems mass casualty attacks as a threat to public safety. In turn, these incidents require a proactive solution in order to prevent future tragedies. Given the bipartisan nature of this legislation, these pieces of gun control have a better chance of passing both the House and Senate compared to other bills. Guys, we have been telling you this and telling you this for probably a year and a half, 2 years now, about the Minority Report. And we, as far as I know, we were the first show that talked about this. And now they're actually doing it. Little by little, Austin, they're chipping at our Second Amendment rights. They're chipping at our First Amendment rights. They've already destroyed our Fourth Amendment rights. They've done everything they can to completely and totally eviscerate the Constitution, to take our rights away as basically sovereign citizens, and to make us part of the doggone, how should I say this, hierarchy of the government, as far as us being the serfs and them being the masters. And it's starting to really, really, really frustrate me and really concern me about what they want to do with this TAPS legislation, son. What do you think?
There's no doubt about it. I brought it up last week in just, you know, a briefing because I was kind of seeing what was going on with this. And this is where it's headed. What it is it's a soft rollout of the Chinese social credit score is what this is really doing, except it's taking another level because you have to remember the Chinese population is pretty much completely disarmed. They don't have a constitution like we have. So it's very easy for the communist government in China to implement something like a social credit score and make it to a point to where if you say something in public or you jaywalk or you make a comment online, they essentially strip everything away from you, which is what happens essentially with the social credit score in China. If you're not a good, perfect little communist do-boy servant, they essentially ruin your life and put you into poverty. And then when you're in poverty and you're in debt and you can't feed yourself anymore, then they put you on the debtors list. So anytime somebody walks walks around you and your cell phone gets picked up, they automatically have an alarm go off that basically notifies that you're a deadbeat, you know, you'll pay your bills because they've completely ruined you. I've done that in China, and it's been relatively easy because the population has been so submissive because there's not much they can do from an offensive standpoint to take back their country because they've been long disarmed for so long. The Constitution of the United States has made this much more difficult. With the Second Amendment, it's been very, very difficult for the communist agenda to really take hold as well as they wanted it to, because they know at any point in time, this is just a fact, at any point in time, if the powder keg sparks hard enough, they're going to have a second revolutionary war in the United States. That's not something I wish for. Most people don't. But they understand. They're treading on very thin ice with this. This is why almost every new legislation you see, it's constantly about giving somebody a score on how dangerous they may be in the United States, or signing a red flag gun law that it assesses if they're too dangerous, the judge unilaterally can say their firearms be disarmed, or a automatic manual federal background check, like they like to call it. Basically, you can't sell any firearms or transfer any firearms or do anything with a firearm unless you go through a background check, so they have all the firearms registered. If you look deep enough, that's what all these things are about, is finding out who has the guns, and then once they find out who has the guns, they have the ability to go in and take the guns. The issue is they're having to do this very, very, very slow. It's progressed a lot over the last 10 to 15 years. However, the amount of people, and I said this yesterday on the Hagman Show last night, the amount of people that are in the United States that are well-armed are in the tens of millions. On top of that, we have hundreds of millions of firearms, just AR-15s alone. So the amount of armaments, munitions in the United States in the general civilian population is far, far surpasses any other country in the world, multiple countries put together. So there's no way for them to succeed in completely taking over this. Even with some type of pandemic like we've talked about, or Ebola, you're still going to have a large percentage of the United States that can maintain their health, that is able to do what they need to do and sanitation and stay healthy. And at that point in time, you're still going to have an incredibly difficult resistance in the United States taking that over. Anything short of a full-blown nuclear attack, which Dad and I have talked before, we've talked to a lot of other people, and we all pretty much agree on this, the nuclear option doesn't really fit the role anymore. You know, maybe 60, 70 years ago, that option was something that was very plausible, but the issue now with the amount of infrastructure that is in place, with the 5G network, with all of the roadways, with everything that's around, going in and having a full-blown nuclear war back and forth between countries or in the United States, it's just going to be loss of everything. It'll be useless. And the problem is the United States is still very rich in a lot of different resources. We have incredibly amazing federal parks still, wildlife parks, sanctuaries, all kinds of stuff. And I don't think all that is going to be just thrown away at a whim to simply wipe out a population. If they can go and get everybody to start submitting to firearm regulations that are completely unconstitutional, like they have done in multiple states now, like up in Connecticut, over in Chicago, over in California, and people submit to those, then they can slowly disarm state by state by state. That's what they're trying to do with the TAPS Act. They're working with that in conjunction with the red flag gun law to start giving everybody a threat assessment score. So then they can say, well, sir, you popped up on the list, Austin. Your threat assessment's too high, so we need to go ahead and confiscate your firearms. And I go, what are you talking about? I haven't done anything. Well, you know, we ran an algorithm. We backed everything up. We've listened to everything you've said. We've watched everything you've done. We've monitored everything you've possibly done for the last 10 years on any type of media outlet we could get a hold of it on. And we feel your threat assessment is just too high. So that being said, we've ran the algorithm, and you're going to be a threat in the future. So we have to disarm you now. It's for the public good, Austin. You have to understand, it's nothing personal. It's for the children. It's for the children, and it's for the protection of the people around you. We have to disarm you. You can go to court in a year. You can plead your case. You can try to get your guns back. And, you know, if you're fine, if you're good, they'll give you your guns back. It'll be completely fine. Don't worry about it. We just have to handle this now. It's for your protection. protection and everybody else's protection around you. That is exactly how it's going to start going. And I told this to everybody in Florida. When we had this red flag gun law get enacted down here in Florida and it made national publicity, I told everybody, I said, this will not be the end of the gun confiscation or gun attempted seizures in the state of Florida or the rest of the country. I said, this is just warming up. This is just a warm-up set. I said, once they get in the law that they can start seizing people's firearms without due process and without a crime committing, that completely opens the door to start allowing for minority report or pre-crime gun confiscation at that point. And that is why, if you look at the red flag federal gun law that Rubio is pushing so hard in conjunction with the TAPs, they are trying to put in a budgetary funding. Last time I saw it, it was, I think, at $40 million, and I'm sure it'll go up, $40 million per year in that red flag federal bill that will give $40 million spread out to sheriff's departments and police departments around the country to give the highest gun seizure departments the most amount of money throughout the country. And of course, as we know with any of these bills, when they start going AWOL essentially with our money that they steal from us at gunpoint, it won't stop there. It'll be $40 million the first year. Then they'll say, well, that we have too many departments that are trying to support this and trying to keep the public safe. We need more money. It has to go to $100 million next year. And then we'll find out later on, 5-10 years down the road, while everybody's being disarmed, that now they're pumping out $400-600 million a year in federal grants to all these departments so they continually seize firearms. Yeah, remember, the sheriff's departments, the police departments, they function off revenue. They need money. And most of the revenue comes in either from the state or from tickets. If they aren't writing enough tickets, they're not bringing in enough revenue. If they're not bringing enough revenue, they have to find it other places. That's why a lot of the sheriff's departments love Baker Acting people. They love arresting people. They get bonds from the state when they do that. They get paid from the state. The same thing now is going to take it the next step further. Will incentivize the local police departments to steal your firearms with no crime committed, with no due process, and then they will get a nice fat bonus check at the end of every month from the Fed if this goes through. That's why I've been so vocal in making sure you contact all your legislators and do not approve this red flag gun law. This will be the end of our Second Amendment. It may not be the final straw, but it will be the beginning nail in the coffin if we allow this to go through on a federal level, Dad.
You know, Austin, it's just, I've watched these communists do this, you know, with their gay agenda and their homosexual agenda and their subversion agenda, and they're controlled by the money market, by the money makers, you know, the International Monetary Fund and, you know, and the World Bank and the Federal Reserve Banks and, you know, and out of Basel, Switzerland. You know, I mean, just this whole thing is just nuts. And it's always the same guys, just we talk about all the time. So let's tie in a few stories real quick. Many Americans are now saying their financial situation is worse than it was during the Great Recession. That's kind of interesting. Many people's finances still haven't recovered from the recession's blows, according to a new survey by a personal finance website. Even a modest downturn is going to cause further harm to the Americans' personal finances, said Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. The Great Recession has been officially over for a decade, which is a lie. Many people's finances still haven't recovered. There are still tens of millions who are struggling to get back to where the economy was before it took a turn for the worse. Remember, guys, the unemployment records they're giving us now, 2-3% unemployment, that's all lies. The actual number, when you take the people who have stopped looking for jobs or who can't get a job or who are disabled or whatever, is over 20%. So there's a lot of people out there that still aren't working, and they're lying to us saying they are. By the way, Iran is doing what we told you yesterday would happen. They're accusing the United States of setting up a false flag with that torpedoing of that ship this a couple days ago. Guys, this is, again, the spark that lights the match, the spark that lights the stick of dynamite. And this stuff is going to get really, really weird over in the Middle East. And if you're not out there really being careful, you get caught up in this false flag lying stuff again. This is good. They call it a mischievous plot. The Iran accuses the U.S. of lying about the suspicious attack on American-linked oil tanker and denies ordering the torpedo assault. I believe Iran. I mean, it's like Syria. Why would Syria gas its own people? Why would they do that? Why in the world would Syria gas its own people knowing that we could go in and start bombing them to rubble again? Why? Well, they won't. And that's the problem that you have. The same thing is true with these oil tanker attacks. There's no way this was a staged attack by Iran. they wouldn't do it. Do they really want to have their country turned into rubble? Do they really want to have their government overthrown? Do they really want to have a whole bunch of their people, millions, die? No! They know they can't defeat the United States. So there's no way they're going to go provoke an attack. They're not going to do it. But the United States, because they want to take over Iran for some nefarious reasons, which you guys know I've talked about before, they're considering this as a possibility. By the way, Sarah Sanders is leaving the White House job. They think she may be running for governor next. I know her dad, Mike Huckabee. He's a super nice guy, very, very nice. He was speaking for an event that attended last summer, and he was talking about his daughter being up there in the White House and you know, all the opportunity it was going to allow her. So hopefully she'll continue her role in politics. By the way, Lake County Church in Orlando is hosting a three-day Make America Straight Again event. This is really, really good. It says a Lake County church whose preacher calls homosexuality not a normal lifestyle and advocates for the arrest and executions of lesbians and gays is planning to hold a three-day Make America Straight Again event beginning Friday. Now, they're saying that he's advocating for the arrest and execution of lesbians and gays. I've not heard the guy say that. You know, now, if he's reading quotes from the Old Testament about executing gays and lesbians, that doesn't mean he wants to go out and kill people. Pastor Patrick Boyle of the Revival Baptist Church in Orlando, which is housed in a small shopping center on U.S. Highway 27 in Four Corners, wouldn't reveal the location of the gathering because he said he doesn't want to invite protesters. They're protesting against this massive amount of gay information that's being forced down our throats. And while we're talking about all of this, I went to a movie last night, the new Men in Black. After about 30 minutes, I got up, walked out, got a refund. It's that bad. Don't waste your time. More Hollywood garbage. Don't even put yourself through it. By the way, New York is ending the religious exemption to vaccine mandates. This is a big deal, guys, because this is a very Jewish-dominated area. New York eliminated the religious exemption to vaccine requirements for school children on Thursday as the nation's worst measles outbreak. Oh, hundreds of people got measles. Oh, my goodness. In decades, prompt states to reconsider giving parents ways to opt out of immunization rules. The Democratic-led Senate and Assembly voted Thursday to repeal the exemption, which allows parents to cite religious beliefs, like not having, you know, dead fetal cells injected into my child, to forego getting their child vaccines required for school enrollment. Governor Andrew Cuomo, a Democrat, signed the measure minutes after the final vote. The law takes effect immediately, but will give unvaccinated students up to 30 days after they enter school to show they've had their first dose of each required immunization. With New York's move, this is the communist push, similar exemptions are still allowed in 45 states. The lawmakers, and several of them, have introduced their own legislation to eliminate the waiver. Guys, this is a big deal. This is how I had my children in private school for years. The three younger ones, I basically had the ability to use an immunization waiver based on religious rites. And guys, it's just one of those things. We don't need to lose this. You guys need to be protesting against this and writing your congressman not to let us lose this. Anti-vaxxers are losing their minds in New York after a religious exemption bill gets pushed through. And these are the religious people, they say. The state capitol turned into a chaotic scene Thursday as both houses of legislature and eventually Governor Koble passed the law. Assemblyman Jeffrey Dinowitz, the House bill sponsor, got cursed out and flat out threatened at one point by opponents of the legislation after it got passed and sent to the Senate floor. So we'll be back for you, Jeffrey, shouted one man in Orthodox religious garb. This is a Jewish fellow who was fuming at the gallery, and I admire him for this, by the way, who was fuming at the gallery with others, many of whom had children with them. Then they start screaming all these names at him. They basically said that this is what they're planning on doing, and he says that they're going to continue to protest, and they don't know what to do because this goes against the Orthodox basically belief as far as injecting all of these things into their children. And these guys are right, and I'm glad that the Jewish people are standing up against this in New York, and they're not allowing themselves to be taken back into some horrible situation with their children being immunized and having all these children become brain damaged. Because last night I was talking to a kid, Austin, who was at the movie theater. This is a very sad story, and he was selling tickets, and you know, we're in a very rural area up here, very ultra conservative, like the most religious county in the country, right? And it was so funny because they were had that one new movie there with that queer movie with Elton John, you know, whatever it's called. I don't even remember the name of it. You know, and what happened is I asked him, I said, I'm sure you guys aren't selling very many tickets for this movie. He goes, oh, no, we're selling a lot of tickets. I said, why are you lying to me? I said, I know you're not. I said, have you seen the movie? He goes, yeah, I've seen the movie. He goes, I watched it several times. I really liked it. And I looked at him, and he didn't seem like he was gay. I said, you know this is a gay movie. He goes, well, yeah. And I said, you know it's got gay scenes in it, like sex scenes. He goes, yeah, I know. There's multiple of those in there. And I'm like, And he goes, but you know, we've had a lot of people come up here and see it. I said, I don't believe you. I don't think you're telling me the truth. And I said, I don't know why you're yanking your chain. And then there was a lady sitting beside him who was selling tickets also. She looked at me and just shook her head like, no, he's lying. This is not true. Guys, I'm going to say this. Why in the world are we promoting this lifestyle to our children? I told Sharon last night, Austin, we got back from the movies, because we were only in there for like 30 minutes. We walked down and got a refund on the horrible movie, Men in Black, whatever, Men in Black to the Infinity or whatever it is. And I told Sharon, I said, this generation, my generation and Austin, because they were raised by my generation, the last gun-toting, free-thinking Americans that we have, except for people like Harrison, who are also raised by me, he's 20 years old. When I'm gone and Austin's gone, this country will be flying rainbow flags everywhere. Homosexuality will be completely and totally accepted, and God's going to curse this nation over this. Now, you listen to me. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, this nation will go to hell quicker than a handbasket than you ever dreamed possible when all these gays take over with all their aborted, ridiculous, perverted lifestyles. And it's going to be a mess within 30 to 40 years. The United States, you won't even recognize what's left of the shell of the United States with what they're doing to our First Amendment, our Second Amendment, our entire Bill of Rights. And just to go ahead and a little bit of a cake on this icing, with the glitz and glamour, this is right out of Drudge this morning, says, Tel Aviv celebrates the Middle East's largest pride event. Listen to me, guys. Listen to me. They walk right down the Via Della Rosa in Jerusalem. They have the biggest pride events in Jerusalem, the number one gay destination of the world, Israel, Tel Aviv. 250,000 expected in an annual event that includes the month of LGBTQ. This is this. I'm posting this to our website. Activities, streets closed. Top active says, while March is happy, discrimination is ongoing. Tens of thousands of people were celebrating. 250,000 in Tel Aviv streets Friday as famously gay-friendly city put on the world's larger pride parades. Rainbow flags flooded the streets. These are the same people, guys, that have done everything. Rainbow flags flooded the streets, and organizers said 250,000 people were expected to take part in this annual event. The parade and company, guys, that's a lot of people. The parade and accompanying festivities kicked off at 10 a.m. and were continuing until 7:30. Men and women in colorful costumes, including some dressed as samba dancers, paraded through the streets of them on motorized floats or sashayed alongside. One float depicted a gym with muscle-bound young men in shorts, and another held drummers and dancers. I mean, this is just some sick, sick, almost said a bad word, crap. There, I can say that word. I mean, this is crazy. Gay muscles, gay couples in Israel, though the government recognizes unions performed elsewhere. I mean, this is just absolutely nuts what's going on in Israel and how it's the largest pride event in the world and the number one gay destination in the world. I mean, what the heck, man? Are we really believing this is going on in Israel? One more story. Exclusive Facebook process to label you a hate agent revealed. Oops. That's what I just said. That's going to make me a hate agent talking about what happened. I give you a report of what happened. I'm reading to you from Breitbart of what's going on in Israel, and now I'll be a hate person because I read you the report. Okay, Facebook monitors the offline behavior of its users to determine if they should be recognized as a hate agent. Did you hear what I just said? Facebook monitors the offline behavior. How do they know what your offline behavior is? According to a document provided exclusively to Breitbart News by a source within the social media giant, the document titled Hate Agency Policy Review outlines a series of signals that Facebook uses to determine if someone ought to be categorized as a hate agent and banned from the platform. The signals include a wide range of off and on platform behavior. If you praise the wrong individual, interview them, or it appears at events alongside of them. What? Facebook may kind of categorize you as a hate agent. Facebook may also categorize you as a hate agent if you self-identify with or advocate for a designated hateful ideology, if you associate with a designated hate entity. I mean, this is crazy. Facebook will also categorize you as a hate agent for possession of hate paraphernalia, though the document provides no example of what falls into. So now they're going to book burn you? Unbelievable. The document also says Facebook will categorize you as a hate agent for statements made in private, but later made in public. How do they know all this stuff? Of course, Facebook holds vast amounts of information on what you say in public and private. As we saw with the Daily Beast doxing story, the platform will publicize private information of their users, to assist the media in hit jobs to show everybody their haters on regular American citizens. Are we talking Chinese credit score here or what? This is exactly what Austin said. They're tying it all together. Guys, this noose is tightening around us. If you're on Facebook right now, let me tell you something, guys. Stop it. Okay, get off of it. I mean, are you? This is a CIA front. The CIA, remember, is controlled by the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian Cartel Banking Group, who are bringing us into a new world order under Lucifer, tying us into a D-Wave computer to tie us all this information together from their data centers to do a pre-crime unit on you and to put all of us into bondage and slavery as we once were sovereign citizens, we will be no longer. This is what the goal is. And we need to understand that. Stay away from these social media things. Just stay away from them, guys. Facebook has shown over and over and over again with this data breaches that it will release any information on anybody at any time for money. Guys, no. Stay off it. Last year I told my wife, she had a Facebook account, and I couldn't believe it when she did it. I said, Sharon, I can't believe you're doing Facebook. Well, I can stay in touch with my friends from high school and college. And I said, okay, that's great. I let her go for about 6-8 months, and finally I said, Sharon, it's grieving my spirit. You got to get off this mess. Nobody needs to know where we went or what we did or how we live or what we do or anything. I said, none of that stuff is interesting to anybody. Anyhow, they don't care. All it does is sends out data points on all of us and all of our friends. I said, it's not okay. And she goes, you're right, Ted. I shouldn't have done this. And she pulled it all off. I give her credit. She shut the whole doggone thing down. Guys, be careful on who and what you talk to on social media and what you put out in the public medium. What do you think, Oz?
That's very well said. And going back, and that's exactly what we've been talking about here, the whole social credit score system, that's where it's going. Anything you say that they don't agree with is going to be deemed hate speech. This whole censorship on Facebook that we've seen in the last couple of years, this is just something that's just the tip of the iceberg. It's going to escalate more. And it's interesting. I want to go back to what you were talking about, that in Tel Aviv, you know, with 250,000 people descend into Tel Aviv as far as with this gay pride. Understand how many people that is. The AT&T Stadium, the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, like the largest stadium in the United States, has a capacity of 80,000 seats. 80,000. 80,000. That means more than three times the amount of the AT&T Stadium descended on Tel Aviv to promote their homosexual agenda. Now, my question to always this is this. These people are becoming almost the norm now. They demand being inclusive. They demand equal rights, which they've pretty much gotten now. They demand that everybody embrace their lifestyle, which a large percentage of the people have. So why is it that we can't have a straight pride parade? Great question, Austin. I'll answer that for you. In Boston now, they have just attempted to get permitted for a straight pride parade in August. Kid you not. You can look this up. I saw it last night. And here's the irony. At first, they finally just got the permit. They got the permit approved this week. They applied for the permit originally, and the city denied it. The city denied it and said, you cannot promote a straight pride parade. That is essentially you promoting hate speech. And they came back and they said, if us promoting a straight pride event is hate speech and you're declining our permit, then you accepting a gay pride parade and saying that that's not hate speech completely contradicts your entire ideology. If they can do it, we can do it. And they actually filed a temporary injunction on the city, took it to court, and the court overruled it and said, you have to grant them a permit for this. You cannot start picking and choosing what people can and can't have parades based on essentially their sexual preference, because this the whole concept, and this is what I've been telling everybody for so long. We have the right to stand up for our rights. They've shot themselves in the foot now because they've demanded all these rights and they've demanded everybody's equal and they demand they get to do this and they get to do that. We get to do the same thing. If they don't let us do the same thing, they're breaking the law. There's no other way around it. And as soon as you take it to court, it gets overruled. Now, here's the irony in me saying all of this now. So they're doing this straight pride event in Boston, which you guys know Boston is like bastion of just liberalism with a homosexual agenda. So I pulled up some articles last night, and I kid you not, almost every single mainstream news outlet that covered this straight pride parade that's going to take on August 31st, is doing everything from calling it a white settler parade to a neo-Nazi supported parade to a hate crime white masculinity parade. I kid you not. Every single article I found talked about, and I'll read this part. You'll love this part here. This is one from Wear Your Voice magazine, which I don't even know what these. They did a whole expose on it, and they said, in fact, a number of media outlets have already begun to point out, of course, all the mainstream communist media outlets, the parade is not about promoting straightness, but about promoting traditional notions of white masculinity and the restoration of white settler ethnostate. We know this from a brief glance in the bios of the organizers. John Hugo, Mark Shady, and Chris Bartley. One of the groups he maintains is Resist Marxism, a group that explicitly promotes anti-Marxism, misogyny, and anti-LGBTQ views. The Patriot Prayer Rally is another one that they took in Portland last year, which ended in a physically violent confrontation between the Proud Boys and the anti-fascist protesters. Now, let me take a step back on that. If you guys ever remember what happened in Portland, Oregon, there were a group called the Proud Boys, which were blatantly constitutional patriots that went there waving American flags, walking around, peacefully protesting. Antifa supporters, protesters, which they call here anti-fascist protesters. That's why I love it. They call it anti-fascist because they know Antifa's got such a bad name now. Started running at them, throwing bags of urine and feces and taking hairspray cans and using them as makeshift flamethrowers and starting huge violent altercations with the Proud Boys. You can look that up. So this is the altercation they're talking about, where the Proud Boys had an altercation. They go on to say here that the rally is trying to draw in by saying it's for freedom and constitutional rights and American values, with the implication of these values being under attack by the left, who are supposedly threatening the existence of white men by advocating for themselves. In this hard right scene, however, white settler heteropatriarchy is ironically restored by borrowing the vocabulary of inclusivity and rights. I'm not going to read any more of this trash, but it's funny to me how we say, hey, you know what? We're proud to be heterosexual, since apparently now it's like this big deal. You get to proclaim what you choose. It's ironic to me because for the longest time it has never really mattered. Now it's this big deal. You get to run around the streets wearing dog collars and full leathers, getting walked like a dog, some weird pervert in the middle of the street, and it's supposedly like that's cool now. I don't know. I guess that's what they do. I don't know. So now we're like, hey, we're going to have a straight pride parade. That's pretty cool. I'm heterosexual. I support heterosexual, you know, behavior. I'm married. I'm happily married. It's cool. It's great. Oh, you can't do that. You're trying to promote white nationalism and neo-Nazism, and you're a fascist. What? What does me being straight have anything to do with me being a neo-Nazi or a white supremacist? Absolutely nothing. But guys, listen to me for a second. Lane's saying all of this. The reason why they're doing this, they're already prepping the public for a false flag at this event in August. This is what they're doing. Listen to me. They're getting everybody stirred up on the left, all the hardcore communists, all the Antifa, all the hardcore blatant homosexuals that want to force their agenda on everybody, and they're steaming the pot up and getting everybody unbelievably mad when nothing has even happened yet. So when we have this straight pride parade in Boston and we promote the fact that we're proud heterosexual males, they're going to do everything they can to descend upon that group with the full force of the communist, Marxist, violent Antifa ideology and start as much confrontations as they possibly can. And of course, the media has already showed us that they will blatantly support any behavior that is exhibited on the left as long as it makes the patriots look bad in this situation. And then they will turn around and say, see, we told you so. These are these neo-Nazi fascists that wanted to come out and promote their whiteness and their white nationality. Even though the funny thing is the whole group has nothing to do with skin color or race. I read the entire article as far as it actually brought up. There's nothing to do with race whatsoever. They're not even telling people that are gay they can't come to it. There's none of that. All they're doing is saying, hey, we want want you as Americans that are heterosexual to march with us as we're proud to be straight. Anybody else is welcome, though. You're more than welcome if you want to support the cause. That's literally all they have said. And now they turn it into this racist Nazi propaganda filth to try to turn everybody into these hate speech contenders that want to start violence. This is exactly what Dad's talking about with Facebook now. All this stuff is getting into play, and if the media can continue to fuel the communist agenda on the left, all stupid, idiotic, blithering morons on the left, and they can fuel them hard enough, they're going to continue to push their agenda. But again, we have to resist it. So I'm proud of these guys in Boston that are going to be doing this. It's about time. I know, I remember I had talked to some people a while back about doing one in Lakeland. They had actually put something up on Facebook and got unbelievably backlashed on it, and it pretty much fizzled out. And the sad part is, because Lakeland's not even really in huge gay area, but apparently that's, they have that whole community there now. And so it's so ironic to me. So be aware of what's going on. Support what you know to be the right, true, biblical direction. But on top of that, be vocal about your beliefs. We can't be silent anymore, Dad.
You know, Austin, years ago, I had a show. This is back in the early 90s. I was at, in fact, I know it was a long time ago because I was still living at my old house over on Somerset in Auburndale. And I remember I was scheduled from the Radio TV Interview Report to do this huge show in Boston. I mean, big show. I mean, huge show, like the number one show in the morning. And I didn't realize how liberal Boston was. I really didn't know. And so I'm listening to the show. I'm on for like 10 minutes before the show starts, and we were promoting my Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program, which I need to go ahead and get some more copies of that made. And what ended up happening is the guy starts promoting the gay poster boy event, the gay poster boy. And it wasn't a joke. They were really having a contest for the best gay poster boy. This is 27 years ago. I mean, 3 decades ago. And I'm like, what the heck, man? And apparently there's a huge gay population in Boston, you know, super, super liberal. And so I just gently put the phone down and hung up. And then they called back a few minutes later. I just didn't bother to answer the phone. So I didn't do the show. So the guy calls me back about an hour later. He's off the air and chews me out. And I said to him, I said, dude, let me explain something to you, bud. I said, you can't promote the gay poster boy show, me come on right behind you. I said, it appears as though I'm on the same program with you endorsing this. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I said, I'm not pro-gay. I'm not pro-gay poster boy. I'm none of this stuff. I'm a white heterosexual male. You lost a lot of money today. You just sold a bunch of your Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy programs. I'm going to go in and slam you now. I'm like, and I said, dude, do what you want to do. I said, but we've got to take a stand. I said, what are we going to accept and what are we going to allow our name to be associated with? And I don't know if you ever did anything or whatever, but I never went on a show. But that's the problem that we have, is we don't take the stand against this stuff. And doggone it all, I hate talking about guns and gays all the time. I'm sick of this. We have a president who should be supporting, you know, conservative causes. And he's so pro-homosexual, it's unbelievable. He likes to hold up gay pride event flags and flash them from his audience in Denver a few days before the election in 2016. He wants to be the most pro-gay homosexual president ever. He wants to have it legalized globally. I mean, what the heck, man? It's not why we put Trump in office. We put Trump in office to make America great again. And he's just simply not doing that. He's basically doing whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, however he wants to do it, and he doesn't care. Just doesn't care. Just unbelievable. By the way, the Nevada sheriffs are telling Democrats no on the new gun law. When the Nevada legislature flipped the Democratic control to the midterms, they were able to pass SB 143, a law relating to background checks. All 17 Nevada sheriffs have signed a letter stating that they will not, I love these guys, they will not enforce it. It sets up an inevitable court showdown over the Second Amendment. Joseph Lombardo, sheriff of Clark County, said this on Twitter. The bill took the legislature on a straight party line vote. It was signed into law by unbelievably liberal, communist, Democrat governor, Sis Olak. It is to go into effect January the 1st, 2020, but one by one, every county sheriff in the state has signed on this pledge to not enforce the law. Even Clark County Sheriff Joseph Lombardo, who oversees the Las Vegas metro area, said no. Wow. So, guys, this is what we need. People do not understand often, well, they do listen to this show, how powerful the county sheriff is. I mean,
yep.
Years ago, I had a big blowout with the Lakeland Police Department. I've told you that story before. I'm not going to tell it to you again. And I remember I talked to the police commissioner in Lakeland because they charged me. Everything was dismissed because it was a bunch of weirdos is what they were. They all got three out of the six involved in it were terminated and fired. And I called, including the police commissioner. And I called her up and I talked to her. And she was saying, well, Sheriff Grady Judd can't do anything to me, blah, blah, blah. I'm the city of Lakeland. I said, I'll tell you what there, lady. Why don't you go ahead and why don't you go arrest Sheriff Grady Judd? See how far that works. And she goes, well, I can't do that. I said, I know you can't do that. I said, you answer to the sheriff and the county. I said, I love Grady Judd. He's a man of God. He has a Bible on his desk. I know him personally. We are blessed beyond measure in the state of Florida to have him in our county as our sheriff. And you guys, you liberals, you guys will not ever, ever take that away from us as long as Grady Judd is sheriff. And of course, the whole thing was just a big disaster. It went on for about a year and a half, and it finally all got dismissed. But it was something that I realized, and I told her, a lot of people don't understand this. The sheriff is the highest law enforcement official in that county, period. And only the governor can take them out of office, you know, or unless they're not reelected. And that's what happened down there, you know, in Broward County. You know, Sheriff Israel was taken out by our governor because of what happened at the Parkland shooting, which I thought was absolutely great. By the way, Maine has now legalized assisted suicide. Maine's governor, another super liberal state, signed a – and that's the same, too. These are beautiful states up there in the country. Maine's governor signed the bill into law Wednesday, make it legal for terminally ill patients to pursue medically assisted suicide. Jennifer Janet Mills approved this law and named the Death with Dignity Act after it narrowly passed both houses of the Maine legislature. So, you know, here's the deal. It allows residents who are over the age of 18, who are mentally competent and afflicted with an illness that would bring death within 6 months, request life-ending medication. Now, I'm kind of torn in this one as far as what I believe on this. You know, if I know someone's going to die and there's nothing you can do except to believe God for a miracle and they're in agonizing pain, I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence on this one. And because there's a certain point when someone's suffering, it's just to the point of just insanity. And I guess they go into a hospice and go on a morphine drip. I don't know. But, you know, you guys, let me know what you think about that one, because that's one of those really, really tough ones for me to deal with, because I've seen so many people that are old that basically are suffering so badly. By the way, California seeks to strip doctors of the authority to grant kids medical exemptions for vaccinations. You heard me right. Medical exemptions to be stripped. So it doesn't matter if it's going to kill you, and if you're allergic to it, it makes any difference. They want to take that away from you. As far as the doctor, they're going to say you're going to inject this kid no matter what. Imagine taking your 2-month-old daughter to it for her scheduled vaccines. This is an article by Schaefer. Imagine watching as she begins to convulse soon after receiving her shots and then continues to experience seizures over the next few days. You might want to make sure she never receives that particular vaccine again. You may decide not to give her that vaccine. The doctor may say, I'm not going to give her that vaccine again. You might even delay the vaccines for her siblings or forgo them. These are all understandable responses to a frightening situation under current California law. You'll be able to do all of those things, and your daughter could still attend school. Though good luck finding a doctor who'll grant you a medical exemption given the local persecution of those who do. But now, Bill 276 limits, and they're trying to get it passed through, medical exemption. So if you know your child had an adverse reaction, they want to tell you right now that you can't get a medical exemption. To me, I'd take that. I kind of wish that whole state, unless you live there and I like you, I don't really want to wish this on you, would just kind of secede from the union and go do their own thing, because it's gotten so messed up and so in debt and so liberal out there, it doesn't make any sense. California used to be the land of fruits and nuts and flakes, and I guess the land of fruits and the fluts and flakes and weirdos and transgenders. And what's funny about it is, they used to be really ahead of the curve as far as organic food, not using pesticides, you know, homeschooling. I mean, they were ahead of the curve. And somehow they've gotten behind the curve now, and they're doing all of this liberal communist stuff and pushing less and less rights. And it's sad to me. It really is. And it's crazy. By the way, the vaccine culture war in America is really upon us. Are you ready? More than 1.2 million people in the United States are infected with HIV. But government officials do not ban HIV-infected children and adults from attending school, receiving medical care, being employed, or otherwise participating in society. In fact, there are anti-discrimination laws that guarantee civil rights protections for people who are infected with HIV, which is a homosexual disease, or living with AIDS. I'm not saying everybody who has HIV is gay, but that's most of them. No discrimination or societal sanctions for infected citizens. In 2012, public health officials reported that about 2 million people in America are infected with chlamydia, tuberculosis, syphilis, and gonorrhea. And they are estimated that there are another 3 million people are infected with hepatitis C. Like those with HIV or AIDS, these citizens are not targeted for discrimination and blocked from getting into public schools, or being employed, or moving freely. Live polio vaccination children can still attend school. Between 1963 and 99, doctors gave live oral polio vaccines to millions of healthy American children who became infected with the virulent vaccine strain poliovirus they shed in their body fluids that transmitted, sometimes causing other children and adults to come down with vaccine strain polio paralysis and die. Those with compromised immune systems were a special risk for getting the vaccine polio strain and shedding vaccine strain poliovirus for longer periods of time than healthy persons. Yet the children recently given live oral polio vaccine were not excluded from attending school. Schools' calls are now being societal sanctions after measles diagnosed at Disneyland. 12 states have introduced bills to eliminate non-medical vaccine exemptions. Censorship of speech, shaming, imprisonment, and medical licenses are being revoked. Disneyland patient zero was never found. Assumptions were made anyway. Measles immunity wanes. High MMR vaccination rate in the United States leading to autism, which many people believe. Witch hunt led by doctors against families and other dissenting doctors are occurring everywhere. The cultural war on freedom and values and beliefs is all upon us. The $100 billion vaccine market in 2025 is featuring many new vaccines. They want all kinds of vaccines. They want Ebola vaccine, Salmonella vaccine, norovirus, adenovirus, enterovirus, asthma virus, diabetes virus, obesity virus. I'm sorry, vaccines. All these are vaccines. High blood pressure vaccine, anti-smoking vaccine, anti-cocaine vaccine. They're making everything a disease. They're making obesity a disease. You have to get a shot for immunization. Adult immunization plans targets women's, employees, faith groups. Will you be prevented from moving freely in society and punished because you're not vaccinated? If non-medical vaccine exemptions are removed, you'll have no choice. You'll have no choice. You'll have to either leave the United States or hide out in the country. What would you do? What can you then do? What are you ready to take in action? Get involved. Wow, guys. I'm posting this article on healthmasters.com. It's called The Vaccine Culture War in America. Are you ready? Guys, you better get ready because it's coming to a place near you as quickly as you could say it's here. By the way, new tests confirm all children's food made from oats are all contaminated with glyphosate. You hear what I just said? All children's foods made from oats are all contaminated with glyphosate. Many major food companies like General Mills continue to sell popular children's breakfast cereals and other foods contaminated with glyphosate, the cancer-causing ingredient in Roundup. I mean, this is nuts. This is absolutely nuts. Now, there are some, you can get glyphosate-tested oats out of Italy. There are some organic manufacturers who aren't doing this, but the vast majority of all this stuff, basically, is not pure. Even some certified organic food grown in the U.S. is being found to contaminate with glyphosate. So this is nuts. This is happening all over the United States. You think, what the heck? Hey, maybe that's one of the reasons your kids are so sick. Maybe that's one of the reasons that you're so sick. Maybe you're getting glyphosate in your food that's wrecking your gut and wrecking your intestinal flora, and you don't even realize it, guys. Unbelievable, this stuff's happening everywhere. One final story, and I'll let Austin take it. Mysterious white UFO was filmed hovering over Area 51 by hikers who also captured a giant new aircraft hangar as military helicopters patrol and jets land. YouTuber Adventures with Christian filmed secret base Area 51, Nevada, U.S. He scaled to the top of the peak to see the mysterious U.S. airbase. At one point, a mysterious floating white object could seem to be seen above the hangar. Guys, I'm going to say something to you, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. The technology that they've told you and me about, okay, the technology that they've given us, they're hundreds of years ahead of us, hundreds. And I'm not being facetious, and I'm not exaggerating that number. It's hundreds of years. They could have released the current iPhones or Androids 30, 40 years ago. They could release them. They've had this technology. They just haven't done it because they're slowly letting us have the technology so we can adapt to it, so we can become brain-trained to be basically with flicker rates to adapt to it, so we can become more adjusted to it. There's outside presences in our universe that have come here. The Bible calls them demons and angels and other entities. And this technology is being developed from those civilizations, or those things from the other dimensions. Who in the world knows what they are? We've talked about this on the show before. But that doesn't affect you and me as far as from our Christian standpoint. Because remember, God made you and me in His image. We're made in the image of God Almighty. Now, they've done everything they can to subvert our DNA and to destroy us, but the blood of Christ basically reconstitutes us and puts us back together again. Listen to my show from last Friday. It makes us right. It makes us the righteousness of God through Christ. And so remember who we are and what we are. And so if they finally come out and say, oh, by the way, we have an alien species that's here, here's a newsflash. They've been here for a long, long time. We see that with the ancient civilizations. We see that with these ancient monuments, these stones that are hundreds of thousands of tons that we can't even move today that are put into place. They've been here for a while. But Genesis 6 flipped the switch on these guys when the flood came, and they'd had to rebuild their infrastructure. That's why Austin said earlier, and he's right, they're never going to go in here and destroy this willingly. They're never going to nuke this planet. They're not going to do that. It took them too long to get to Genesis chapter 6 where they can make every thought of every man evil. For somehow these entities, and this is going to sound really weird to you guys, these entities use our energy. If it's photonic energy, I don't know what they do. I mean, they kind of trawl the whole doggone planet for this energy, especially the energy of young children. This is why they've had so many of these sacrificial things going on. So many of these children disappear. This has been going on since Baal and Moloch and Asherah thousands of years ago. The Bible talks about passing your children through the fire. For some reason, when these people die, these children die, the energy is consumed by these entities. They really like this stuff. This is some weird stuff to talk about, okay? But there's something going on. Now they're bringing this planet back around to Genesis chapter 6, where every thought was evil all the time. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, when every thought was evil all the time, it says in the days of Noah, Genesis chapter 6, he will return. Guys, we are, I believe it with all of my heart, living probably in the last 100 years before the return of Christ. I don't know when Jesus is going to come back. I have no idea. But I do know this. Every thought of every man, they're trying to orchestrate now with 5G, and all of the stuff they're putting through to everybody, Austin, to make everything evil all the time. And I want to say this, and I because I pray all the time. You guys know that. I pray for you guys again today. I thank God Almighty. I mean, I thank God Almighty that I'm my age, that I was born in the 50s, and that I've seen this country in its best, and I've watched it degrade to the point where it is now. And I thank God that I'm not going to be around for another 100 years to see what's going to happen. Because, guys, when the first book of that chapter of Revelation clicks open and those seals start breaking and all this stuff starts happening and God's finally had enough again, it's going to be literally hell here on earth. And, guys, that's why it's so important that you stay right with Jesus, that you stay right with God, that you pray every day, that you take your communion, you go to church on a regular basis. If not, at least watch it online and do it online. Make sure you stay in the Word. Stay with praise and worship music. Don't allow yourself to get secularized. Don't start saying, oh, it's all right, this gay thing, it's no big deal. Who cares what they do? I don't care what they do. No, guys, now we got to care. We've had this laissez-faire attitude about this for a long, long time, and now they're pushing it. They're pushing the envelope, pushing it more and more. Now they don't. Now it's not good enough that we don't care what they do. Now they want us to embrace their culture, to love it, and think it's absolutely wonderful. We can't do that as Christians. The word's very, very clear. Come ye out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. But remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and we've got to continue to do all we can do to help everybody understand who Jesus Christ was. Remember, Jesus Christ changed the Roman world that was filled with orgies and homosexuality and all this weird stuff. He changed everything and brought peace on earth. And for a short period of time, 300-400 years after his ascension, this world really grew and started becoming more and more and more Christian until the Catholic Church came in the I think it was 323, and started incorporating a lot of the pagan holidays into the Catholic calendar, which they should never have done. And then it still stayed together through the Dark Ages. It wasn't until the last few 100 years, with this whole Sabbatean Kabbalah stuff and all the weird stuff these guys put together, that they started deteriorating and degenerating the earth to this point right now. So guys, just continue to pray for God's will to be done on this planet. Be careful with your family. Protect your children, especially from the internet, especially from allowing them to go online and look at stuff they shouldn't look at, because kids are curious and they're going to want to look at stuff all the time. Keep your stuff password locked. Keep it encrypted. If you don't need Wi-Fi in a certain area of your house, don't put it in your house. If you don't need Wi-Fi at all at your house, don't put it in your house. Keep the kids pure as long as you possibly can, because the world is pulling on them in every different direction. I love you guys. I appreciate you. You guys are absolutely awesome. Austin, go ahead and finish it up, and I'll do the write-up. Talk to you guys on Monday. God bless.
Absolutely, guys. Can we continue to appreciate all the support? Also, to another news, I saw this a couple months ago, but it's kind of escalated now. A California school is essentially a Riverview Christian Academy, which is really more of a, it's like a homeschool private Christian school, completely private, you know, small, only has, you know, a few hundred students total. And, it's apparently it's a really nice school. They had a full blown SWAT raid with 16 body armored, laced up, law enforcement officers, two canine units, and 17 social workers. They got the warrant under the evidence of claiming that they had illegal drugs, weapons, ammunition, and food. Food. I know some of that stockpiled food. I don't know how that constitutes a raid. But the raid turned up no evidence whatsoever on the warrant. Zero. So instead of backing off and trying to basically level out and apologize for what they did, they now have come in and said this private school was in multiple violations of state regulations according to the school academia and what they were actually teaching the kids. So now they've been in this nonstop fight for the last couple months now as the state is trying to impose fines on them and saying they have an unlicensed community care facility, that they don't have proper, as far as textbooks that they're using, by saying they're not allowing them to basically go through the sex ed classes indoctrinated in these weird perverted stuff they're doing out in California in eighth grade. Crazy stuff. That's what happens when you start allowing the state to control the education of the younger children. Very, very sad place. So be aware of what your children are learning, of course, at all times. I appreciate everything, guys. I was on the Hagmann Show yesterday. Lots of crazy stuff going on. Went into detail on a few different things. Be sure, if you guys saw the product of the week, the Joint Rebuilding Formula. Super popular products. One of our flagship products we've had for years that really helps out in rebuilding soft tissue. So I want to make sure everybody sees that on there and gets a chance to try it. It's on sale for over 12% off. And also vote for the next product of the week. It looks like the Ultimate D3-10,000 is pulling really strong, actually. It's got a lot of feedback on that one. That's a very popular product, really good for the immune system. Whenever you get blood checked once a year or so, you get a checkup, make sure you get your D3 tested. For some reason, that is a crucial element in blood work that most doctors don't test for. You can request it, or you can do as far as request your own blood work if you have to. So be sure to get that done and make sure you monitor your D3 levels. But this product is incredibly awesome. We take it all the time down here at Health Masters. Really keeps you healthy. Really good for the bones and teeth as well. So thank you guys for the support. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Have a wonderful weekend. Have a blessed Father's Day. I'm going to chill out on Sunday with the kids and have a nice day. And so you guys do the same, and we'll talk to you again Monday as always.